this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, can you imagine trying to run a business while changing the diapers of your two-year-old son while he's in a full body cast? How's about if it was actually the first day after you quit your cushy six-figure corporate job to take a major gamble on supporting your young family? Well, that's what today's super successful and insanely productive Perfect Day Formula hero was able to do. Hi, this is Craig Valentine, creator of Early to Rise Radio, and today you're going to meet my friend Brad Pilon and find out how he went from having that cushy corporate job to becoming a six-figure entrepreneur who gets to work at home, all while raising a family, being insanely productive, having an amazing marriage, and making me laugh. Brad Pilon and I met in May of 2000 when we were both working for a big nutritional supplement company. We were in our early 20s and totally loving life, carefree, single, everything was going great. But I was already Mr. Early Bird, as Brad will tell you, and I slowly began to inspire him into putting more success rituals and routines into his life. Now today, because of that, Brad is living his dream. He's married to his best friend, Heather, and he's the father of two young kids, Briar and Roman. Now, thanks to his insanely productive morning routine and daily rituals, he was able to quit that job and build a multiple six-figure home-based business. And he explains how he did all of this while making me laugh and being absolutely hilarious and a really great guy in this episode of Early to Rise Radio. Early to Rise Radio is brought to you by the Perfect Life Workshop. Brad recently attended a workshop and he absolutely loved it. He called it a game changer, and I know it will be a game changer for you too. So visit perfectlifeworkshop.com to find out more about this mentoring program. All right, let's jump into this episode. Now, excuse us at the start. We're a little excited to be hanging out, but join us for a laugh and let's get to the big lessons. Brad, let's talk about morning routines. But first of all, before we get there, let's talk about back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Whoa. Back in the day, you and I met in 2000.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, what the heck did you think when you first met Craig Valentine?
That guy. Okay. So my main memories, you got up early forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this. So I remember when we first started working together. And
well, we didn't have to start working until 10 o'clock in the morning, which
right,
is weird.
Which is awesome for a guy like me, because that means we work 10 to 7.
Yep.
So I get back to Guelph, Ontario by 7:45.
There's a siren.
Hit the bars.
Oh, nice.
Get home by like 1. And we knew, because I live with Johnny,
yep,
right? They're like, hey, even though we start at 10, if you wait until like 9:40, you miss all the traffic and you can make it in.
Got it.
So that was perfect. But every time we came in, you were in your office.
Right.
And then we realized that we worked for the same boss at the time. And he started coming in early, so you would come in a little bit earlier. And he'd come in earlier, and you get to the point where I'm like, you guys are coming in like 5 a.m. And I'm like, dude, we don't start for like 5 hours. Right. Why are you here?
To get work done. To get work done,
to get,
right?
To get work done, yeah.
So for me. So back then, we were working for a supplement company. You had a nutrition degree.
Yeah.
We were both into bodybuilding, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
What was your routine back then? You know, you kind of mentioned it, but what was your routine and how did you have structure in your life that allowed you to be successful in bodybuilding and work? Because you were very successful.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, there wasn't a lot of routine at the time. It really is survival, right? You're just out of university, college, and you've got a big boy job or a big girl job. And all you're trying to do is make it through. And then you kind of fall into it. So you're exerting your own independence, right? So you're like, what are we, mid-20s maybe? And so you're trying to prove to the world that you're a grown-up, right? So that means...
you right? Never worked for you.
No, never. Still doesn't, right? Oh, geez. But so it would be getting up just in time to make it to work.
Yep.
Right? And then I just remember like on the way, you'd make those decisions. Like you'd be like, okay, I got to be in the office in 10 minutes. there's a Timmy's coffee shop right there. I'm like, I'm gonna go.
Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons.
Friends.
Yeah. And it'd be like you get in the lineup and drive through, and you're like, I'm totally gonna be late. Like, I'm staying. Like, I'm like, so everything you were doing is very reactive, right? And that
got it.
That was probably the first couple years of work because you just weren't used to it.
And you were under 25 then.
Oh yeah, I'm 23 at the time. So I remember, like, true story. Like, okay, finishing work. And then going to the gym for a workout. And halfway, being like, I got to pull over and sleep. And I would literally pull over into like a grocery store parking lot, put the seat back, and pass out for like a half hour.
And then go to the gym.
And then go to the gym, right? Now, lucky this is like pre-kids. And, you know, no one's relying on you. You have no true responsibilities. You're still stressed.
Yeah.
Right? Even though you have no idea what stress is yet, but you're still stressed.
Sure.
And that was life, though. It was very reactive. And then as I got going.
Yeah. How did you evolve? What were like some of the big evolutions for you?
So we went from being a 10 to 7 company full of 20-year-old basically bodybuilders, right? Yep. That was this company was just, it was one big frat house, a highly effective, money-making, great group of guys, frat house, but a frat house.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, we start at 9. And I was like, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That's not cool. And then I'm like, well, it's the same, right? It's just an hour earlier. And then I remember the first time trying to get to work on time for 9, I got in my car, I pulled in down my street, hit the highway, and stopped. And I was like, I'm not going to make it. And then I realized that by like 9:20, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it for lunch. Like, this is crazy. And that was my first experience with traffic and realized, okay, I got to sort of step up my game here. And that was, all right, we have a really awesome gym at work. Like, I could just get up earlier, go to work, get in a really good workout, shower, sit in my office, have a productive day. And that's what started that sort of idea of just you actually have to manage your time.
Right. So it's taking control of your time.
Yeah.
Figuring, you know, you're going to get obstacles thrown in your way.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have control over your time eventually.
Yeah. Because you can't control everything. You got to control what you can.
Yeah. And this was before you and I really got into any philosophical stuff on that. It was just, you know, you're learning the hard way, right?
Yeah. Reactive. This is survival. Being like, I don't want to get fired. I get paid a nice amount here. I'd like to keep this job.
How do you think, like, you have a scientific background, you have a master's degree in science. How do you think that your scientific background helped your morning routine and your time and your productivity?
You cause and effect, trial and error. Okay. Right. So you know that you can try certain things and just realize, okay, this isn't working. Right. And I know I haven't changed anything but X. Right. And if only thing I change is X, and now the rest of my day sucks, and every time I do X, the rest of my day sucks, I should probably try to stop doing X. Right. So it'd be little things. Like, if you're going to the gym to work out before work, and so you wear your workout gear to the gym, bring your work pants. Because that's really embarrassing when you forget to do that and have to go buy new pants in the middle of the morning. Yeah, horrible. But yeah, so it is really just kind of figuring out what is working for you and admitting it. Like, look, I've tried to do it this way multiple times. And sure, Steve or whoever loves doing it that way, it doesn't work for me. Like, we've trialed and errored this enough for me to know I can't do it this way. So a lot of it is just what jives with you and what flows with you.
Okay, so you eventually became a real big wig in the supplement company, and you were managing other people. How did that then change your routine and how you had to, you know, manage your day to manage other people?
Yeah, so you've got to be there for them, mm-hmm. right? So if you're not in the office and they need help, you're useless, right? And managing people is, well, just being a sounding board. Most of the time, it's making sure they know what they're supposed to be doing. And then just being there for when they have questions or when they have gripes, right? Because they need someone to vent to, and you'd always want them to vent up rather than vent down.
Sure.
So you got to be there, right? So which means that you can't be the one taking the long lunch, but in fact also maybe you should be taking lunch at a different time so that you're available when they have free time. So it's recognizing other people's needs and then making sure that you can meet them. That's really, I mean, I wasn't the world's best manager. I think I was pushed into a management job maybe very young. And I was managing people roughly my same age, which has its own difficulties. But the one thing I think I did get right was realizing that my job was to help them do their job and at least be a sounding board, right? I don't always have solutions, but you can sit in my office and bitch at me for a little bit of time until we realize now you're just complaining. But if it's not just complaining, if you're literally trying to just air something so you can get it off and you can get productive again, that was my job.
Awesome, awesome. So, you know, you're talking about managing people, and now I'm just showing people the questions I'm going to ask Brad here. But let's talk about when you got married, because you were working for the company, so you had a corporate job, and you got married. Now, how did your marriage change your routine?
Okay, so I'm kind of a unique case. Heather and I have been together since like 16, right? So we know each other's quirks. The hard part of marriage, it wasn't really marriage as much as it was when we started living together. And Heather's a teacher, so she was had their own schedule that's very different from, you know, a corporate schedule. I was traveling a ton. And so it was just managing expectations. So I would get home from 2 weeks in China. But maybe getting home, grabbing a shower, I'm like, I'm going to go trade chess. You know, maybe I should not do that. Maybe I should hang out, right? So, again, it's a lot of the same stuff is just realizing that marriage is an agreement. Maybe you can't be 100% egocentric all the time. And sometimes you have to compromise. And other times you're not compromising. You're straight up losing on purpose, right? So sometimes there's something you really want to do and you're like, can't do it. Right. And it's more important to the other person what they want to do than the little thing you're trying to do.
All right. So tell us about the communication strategies that you had throughout your marriage that have been really beneficial, not just to time management productivity, but just in raising your children. Do you guys have like a weekly meeting, or are you guys, you know, a little bit more free flowing? Do you guys look at the end of the year and think about the next year?
Yeah, so we're free flowing. I'm home a lot. So part of my lifestyle allows me to be home. And even though I could go get an office, right, I could have a really cool place. I need to be home because I want to be present for the kids. I'm not always 100% present, but I'm there. Hanging with the kids isn't the problem. It's with Heather once we've gotten the kids to bed. And you're both tired, right? Because you've both worked, and then you've both interacted with your kids, which can be work. And so the number one thing I have to watch for is I'm very opinionated, and I have a lot of ideas, right? So when I'm not paying attention, when I'm not focused, I am listening for my turn to speak, right? So when Heather's talking, I'm just waiting for something to say. A lot of times I interrupt. Right. And so I have to learn that when Heather's telling me something, it's not just to fill dead space. She's actually wanting something from me. It may not be my opinion or my idea on how to solve a problem in mansplaining, whatever they call it. Sometimes I'm just there to listen. Right. Sometimes it is a solution. Sometimes I'm whatever the case is, I'm best off turning off my I wonder what I'm going to say to this and just listen to the full explanation.
Have you guys done the love languages test? And do
no.
you guys? Oh, you haven't.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was doing that recently. So you know the five love languages?
No.
But you don't know the book?
No.
Oh my gosh!
I'm in.
How weird is that?
I do.
Like, I mean, this is like one of the
we play Exploding Kittens.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so five love languages. All right. I guess we'll just edit that part out.
Yeah, just yeah.
Okay.
I only know the one that works.
Right. You're terrible at it.
I am horrible.
Okay, so. Listen, how did then your time management and productivity evolve when you had your first child?
Ah, okay. Then it all went to hell.
Yes.
Complete bloody hell. So,
and why did it go that way? Were you guys not prepared, or was it just, hey man, you can prepare for this, but it's like Mike Tyson said about fighting, you can have a plan. Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You really, okay. I'm going to apologize to all my friends who had kids before I did, right? Because you watch them and you're like, dude, what? What is, kid's cute. What is going on? Why are you so tired? Why can't you come out tonight? This is ridiculous. Come on, just come out. Right? And then it's like, why? Oh my God, you can't come to the cottage. Why? You've got a kid. Why do you love kids, right? So you kind of think it's easy. And then you have a kid and you're like, this is not easy, right? This is difficult. Like everything that could possibly go wrong might go wrong, right? Like how do I know that piece of ceiling is not going to fall off the ceiling and crush your inner crib? I gotta move the ceiling. Like you can't be prepared for anything. So again, it's realizing some things are within your control and some things aren't. So, and you luck out sometimes. Briar was sleeping through the night.
And you were working at the corporation at this time.
Still corporate. Well, I know, right? Briar would sleep, and people are going to hate me for this, but like at 3 months old, 8 hours a night.
Wow.
Like perfect baby, right? So I had it easy that way. But what I didn't have easy was she was a light sleeper. So you'd already started talking about like to get up and get shit done in the morning. And I'm like, I'm going to be like Craig. I'm going to get stuff done in the morning. I would set my alarm and I would cruise downstairs. I'd open my computer. I'd get to work. I'd look up and she'd be sitting right there staring at me like, oh, guess I'm not. This is horrible. Now I've got 2 hours of just hanging out with you and I'm kind of tired and was in work mode. All right. So you have to sort of react and work with them. I mean, now it's awesome. Brad gets up and makes herself breakfast, right? So, because somehow in like the last 2 months, she became 10. Like, it's insane how fast they grow. But in that beginning stages, everything is new. Everything's a daze. I remember having a spare shirt in the office all the time because chances are the shirt I come to the office with would have like spit up on it. And I had to keep a toothbrush and toothpaste in the office because I would literally get to the office and be like, I don't remember if I brushed my teeth. Like, I really don't remember. And then you're like, I don't even know how I got in the office.
Right. How did you get there?
Yeah. You're like, all right. Like time travel. I got this down. So it's a lot. That stage is just persistence, right? It's just, again, controlling what you can, ignoring what you can't control, just accepting it, and just being persistent and being like, I've got to do stuff, right? So it's for a greater cause in the end. So you got to push through sometimes.
So what time were you getting, so walk us through like timelines. What time are you getting up before you got married? What time were you getting up once you got married? And what time did you start getting up that worked when you had your first child and you had to be at work at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Okay. So early days, you just get up when you had to get up, right? So it would be 6:50, 6:45, whatever the case for me, which is early for me, right? And that would just be like an alarm going off and you being like, I'm not getting up. I'm not doing it. And you're like, no, I'm doing it. Then you're like, you're arguing with yourself in bed and your alarm goes off again. You're like, fine, I'm up. And then as I started getting into a routine, understanding corporate life a bit better, maybe realizing I can't stay out all the time, right? And I got into a bit of a better balance. But it was always that sort of 7 a.m. get up. And then I would try like a 5 a.m. type thing. And then that was typically when Briar would get up. Right. Or, and this is horrible, but it would be, I would get up to work. Then Heather would get up, see me and want to hang out. I'm like, good. Okay. What is the most important thing right now? Right. Is it me just banging away on my keyboard, getting an email ready, or maybe spending some time with Heather? I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend time with Heather because the intermediate, the listening to your wife while you're typing does not work. It's not cool. Even if you are listening, the fact that your eyes are at your screen and you're typing, or worse, I did this. Don't ever do this. Don't ever do this. Talk to someone, make eye contact while you're typing.
Oh.
That's not cool, apparently. Apparently, that's the rumor. It's not something to do. But so then it started. It's always been around that 7 a.m. time. I try to go early. I've done later. But for that entire period, it was always rotating right around 7 and trying to figure out what I had to do to make that time work for me.
And then were you a night worker or were you, as soon as you got home, you were just all family?
No, night worker. Okay, so after full corporate life, I left, did my grad work.
Yeah.
Right. Finished that and started with a startup. So I'm working at a startup and I'm really trying to make Eat Stop Eat something. Right. So I would work at a startup and the guy who ran the startup, super cool, let me, very flexible. He understood that I had young kids, the whole bit. But I would work for him. And when I was at that job, I was doing that job. Then I would get home. I would hang out with the kids and the family. Our kids go to bed early. It's beautiful. So they're in bed by 8. And most nights then by like 8:39, I'm working. And I'm writing the next big book or a blog post. And that would be from maybe till 10, 11. And then I would crash. So it was very dual. It'd be like work, break, work. But it's what worked for me at the time.
Work, break, work.
Yeah, is that your book?
His new book.
That's a plug. Yeah.
So Eat, Stop, Eat was his first book. Work, break, work is his next one.
Yeah.
So where did you draw the line? So going back to like when you were typing and you had, so you were, had work, wife, and kids.
Yeah.
Where did you draw the line in terms of how much work?
Yeah.
This is, you know, I don't want Heather to hear this. Like how much time is enough for Heather?
Yeah.
And then how much time is enough for kids? Because otherwise you can give yourself this guilt of, I got to give every single hour of my time to my children. I see this a lot in females, especially female entrepreneurs who just are torn apart.
Yeah. All right. So I was sitting in my office at that startup and we're doing really well. Things are going exceptional. And Eat Stop Eat is pretty much where it can get to with 4 hours a night.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just where it's going to be. And I had to make a decision. I'm like, I am either going to I have to turn Eat Stop Eat off or autopilot and do corporate life again. Like this, we've got money coming in now for this company. We're hiring, we're becoming big. And the guy who ran it was counting on me, but more and more, right? I was vice president of marketing and product development, and his ability to feed his family depended on me being all in, and I wasn't, right? I'm like, and if I'm going to make Eat Stop Eat work, now is a chance, right? So I'm not stealing this guy's money and giving him 90% for what he was paying for 100%. And I'm not stealing it for myself because Eat Stop Eat is a really good product that needs to get out there. So I'm like, hey, and I'm not stealing from the kids and just continuing to do both. So I quit the startup. Then he sold it for millions. But I quit that, and he was really good. He understood, and he was kind of a go chase your dreams, you crazy kid. And that's what I did. And then everything, I'm going to tell you, everything worked out beautifully, but it was an absolute gong show. That was like, let's say it's a Friday, right? And so Saturday and Sunday, I'm like, I am now 100% dedicated to Eat Stop Eat, and then the rest of my time, it's family. That Monday, the very first day of me being like full on stay-at-home dad / entrepreneur about to make millions and be my kid's best friend ever. Ro gets up early from his nap. Briar's still sleeping. Ro's almost exactly like 2 years, couple months.
And Ro's your son.
Ro's my son. Yeah.
And Briar's your daughter who's 10 now.
At the time she was 4.
Got it.
She's still taking her nap. Ro's awake. So I'm like, I'm going to pick him up. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to hang out for a bit. It's going to be awesome. And I don't know if I was a bit tired or what was going on. I took 2 steps down the stairs and fell.
Worst nightmare of every parent.
Dude, I landed on him. Superfly snooked his leg, blew it apart, like femur full broke. Ended up in a cast up to here. Like it is awesome, wicked cast, little hole so I could change diapers. And that was my life for the next 8 weeks. So everything now is on hold, right? Because again, you can't control these things, right? And you could sit there going like, woe is me, right? Like this is horrible. What a horrible start. This is a huge mistake. I should have stayed in my job. It wouldn't have happened if I was at work. But you just got to roll with it. And you're like, all right, Ro needs 100% of my time for the next 8 weeks. Ro gets 100% of my time for the next 8 weeks. So I'd sleep with him. We had to get rid of his crib. We took a queen-size mattress, threw it on the floor in his room. I slept with him every night because the cast couldn't get wet or dirty. He's 2. He's in diapers. This is like, I had to change him just on a schedule every 2 hours to change him constantly. It was awesome. It was so much fun. I know, right? So by the end of it, I wish I could find the camera. By the end of it, he was cool. He realized that it was kind of rounded here. So he'd get on the floor and spin, and he'd spin around this giant blue cast. It was awesome. But then he finally got it off, and I got started. So I did like an 8 to 10 week delay, but then I got my life going.
You should have been in like some sleep deprivation study during that time. I mean, that is truly insane. You know what? Right?
I think I should have done counseling because there was a lot of guilt there.
Yeah.
And I was like deathly afraid of carrying anything up and downstairs. I have a pair of Nikes in my house shoes. I don't wear socks in my house ever. But yeah, so you control what you can. You just accept what happens. So after that, then I got down to business, and that was when the kids were at school, that was my time to write. And I consider myself first and foremost, not a business owner. I'm mediocre at that, but I am a writer, right? Chasing ideas is what gets me going. So in that,
well, let me ask you one question before we go down there, because that's really good. Do you find that once you had kids, you started making better decisions about your time? Tell us a little bit about that and how, in a way, I mean, obviously kids are going to throw a huge monkey wrench into it, but it's also going to be a slap in the face. Like, what are you doing with your time and your life, right?
Yeah, exactly. So at 30, so Briar's born at 30. And then so Ro is at 32. And that is a big moment. Because you realize you've made an agreement that you are no longer first, right? Like you've had your playtime.
Mm-hmm.
You've done your crazy fun stuff, right? You've done the call Craig and be like, dude, we should just go to Montreal this weekend. And you're like, yeah, let's do it. That's gone, right? Like it's not a bad thing. It's not the end of life. It's just realizing that you've made a commitment to other human beings that you've got to uphold, right? They can't do it on their own right now. And so that was the main realization is then you can't prioritize yourself first always, right? It doesn't matter if you want to go out drinking with your friends on Tuesday because you've got children who need you. So a lot of time management was realizing at that point, people depend on you. And Heather, I mean, when we were pre-kid, it's a codependence, right? Like she's an adult. She can take care of herself. If I want to go do Krav Maga and stay an extra hour for sparring back then, it's not like she's like, well, I don't know how to make dinner, so I guess I'll starve, right? she's fine. But when you have two small kids, you're literally, Heather and I are like parenting, I guess is what you call it. But so you're playing off each other. You're playing off of each other's needs. But first and foremost, it's how are you going to meet the children's needs? And that was the big wake up for me. It's like, it's not all about me. I mean, it's still a lot about me,
right?
But it's not 100% all about me now. And that was the big realization, the big step back. The even with work, right? Pre-kid, writing Eat, Stop, Eat was literally just to see if I could write a book. That was the whole point of it. Now it's, you know, the emails you get are because people are depending on me for those emails, but also my kids are depending on me to not become a bum and never work again, right? So
right. So now we go back and you said, you know, you're mostly a writer. You want to get ideas mm-hmm. out there. So tell us about what you were going to say before you interrupted
you
there.
So then you were talking about the balance between work and kids.
Yep.
And I find if I don't get it all out, when it's there, when I've got ideas in my head, if I don't just pound away at the keys or scribble it on napkins or do whatever I can from 8 to 2:30 whenever early school ends, it's still with me when I have the kids at home, right? When they get home and I'm 50% with them and 50% still churning ideas of things to write about and things I should look into and I should look this up.
Yeah.
So I need to get it just out, just brain dump.
Right, that's the brain dump thing that I have in the kit.
Exactly. And I know you talk a lot about doing it before bed, right? But I have to do it after the start of second day, right? So my first day and then second day.
Right. Well, I actually started, you know, because I was working with Isabel De Los Rios and Mike Whitfield, and they're home entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have their kids in school. And with Isabel and Mike, I was saying, you do the brain dump at 5 o'clock. You get all the crazy thoughts out of your head, all the research you got to do, all the people you want to call, everything. You get it out of your head onto a piece of paper so that that's a empty vessel for you to go and be with your kids.
Yeah.
And then one thing that Mike Westerdahl, another coaching client of mine, taught me was to have the YouTube song, the theme song, so that a lot of parents come home and, you know, they're in traffic, right? And it's like, you know, and then by the time you walk in the door, your kids are so excited to see you, but you're still thinking about traffic or work.
Right.
But Mike said, I play this song every night before I go or while I go from home or from work to home. And then I walk in and I'm super dad because I listen to this theme song, this pump up song. So I really love that.
I got to look up the YouTube. I didn't know they had a theme song.
Well, I mean, you just have to come up with your own.
That'd be Rocky.
There you go.
I have Tiger. Yeah.
There you go. So yeah. So you start doing that brain dump.
Yeah. And that was a big thing. So in terms of managing time, and I'm not perfect at it, right? Like I again, a lot of times when Heather or the kids are talking and I'm like, I wonder on the wait, I got to like focus.
Right.
So, but it is a constant struggle. It's not really like an ADD kind of jump around. It's more I kind of lose myself back up into my own thoughts.
Do you do any voice jots on your phone or anything, or is it mostly?
No, I can't stand my own voice. Like, yeah. I will never listen to this podcast. Yeah, so it's all, I have notebooks everywhere. I have like these little Moleskine notebooks, and I have a wall of them. That's how many I've filled out. So, and I like going back and looking through them sometimes. And the good thing about the brain dump, though, is there are days where there is literally nothing in my head. Like, I'm not sure I can put one foot in front of the other.
Right.
And those are days I just do, like, the answer emails or I just do dishes. Like, it's like, I'm like, but when I'm on, I got to just be on and just get it out and create the ideas and put them together because I don't have other outlets, right? My non-health entrepreneur friends don't want to meet me for coffee and me be like, you know what would be really cool is if we looked up like the, what does leucine do? And would people respond to that just their eyes glaze over, right? So I need to get out and then have conversations with myself for real about how things fit together to get it out so that I can have normal conversations with other people or the kids.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay, so going back to the kids.
Yeah.
You know, now they're 10, they're 8, everything's going decently, but you know, like even now, but a couple of years ago, one of them gets sick.
Yeah.
how do you mentally get back on track? You know, so it's like, oh, the kids are sick, I got to deal with this.
Right.
And some people just let that blow off an entire day. But how do you turn it into a good day if, you know, that's a day where you want to crank and type some stuff out?
Right. Okay. So from a very young age, the minute they could understand it, I would always explain to the both of them that, like, when you're sick, the most important things is water and sleep. Right. So you got to drink your water. And then you got to go to bed. That's how you get better. You got to go to bed. I mean, it's true, that first and foremost, but also there's no benefit to either of us to just sort of sit on the couch together and watch reruns of Voltron. As awesome as that is.
Right.
Right. It's not the most conducive use of either of our time. They need to be getting better. And when they're asleep, I can get stuff done. And when they're not, I got to give them full attention. But that's mostly is like when anybody in our family's sick, you just shut her down. Like you don't do the I'm a hero, I'm going to push through, especially because kids don't do that. But you shut them down completely, and then they tend to get better quicker, and then you can get back to normal life.
Okay, cool. So what were some of your biggest breakthroughs as going from the worker to the dad at home entrepreneur? Like, where did you go all of a sudden have some like, oh, this is how I can get more done? Or, you know, this is something that's going to allow me to, you know, hack my way to write faster or to be more productive, or, you know, this schedule that allows me to get more done that might involve taking a day off or squeezing a couple hours of work in on Saturday morning. What works for you?
Okay. The one thing I found out is that since people know you work from home, they generally think that means you don't work. So you can meet them at any given time for any given thing, right? So it is a bit of learning to say no. Right. Even when people are like, they want to do coffee and they know you can do coffee. But if you've got something that's a good time for you to be working, you just got to say no and suggest another time. Right. So I forget if it was Jimmy Smith or who said it, but someone once said on Twitter, they're like, being an entrepreneur means I get to pick which 18 hours a day I get to work. Right. And so that's a lot of it. We're still working a lot and we're flexible, but sometimes those golden hours are ones you have to protect. So that was a big thing, is realizing that my dad back in the day would call every single day for coffee. And sometimes like, Dad, let's do coffee tomorrow. We're still doing coffee, but maybe not right now where I already told you I have a call tonight. Like I've got to prepare for it, that sort of thing. So it's learning not to shrug people off, but just to balance them. And then if I was going into the town where my parents lived and I was spending an hour or two with my dad, maybe I'd drop in on a friend's house. Right. Yeah. So it's compartmentalizing, you know, trying not to drive around aimlessly too often, but getting things done in groups. And then I'm trying to think of anything else. Like the main part was just realizing when you're productive and where you're productive. And then also realizing when that changes.
Yeah. And then also realize like, hey, I've gotten till this time.
Yeah.
And then once this time is over, like, it's not like I can work till 5 o'clock and then I might just bleed it in. But it's like that's a hard finish for you
as
a parent, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then now that they're older, we've got extracurriculars, right? So when they're at, let's say Briar's acro class, you can't even really sit and watch it. It's kind of awkward. They're 10. They're doing acro. They don't need a dad sitting there like watching the whole thing. So
what is acro?
Acro is like gymnastics, but more Cirque du Soleil-ish.
Got it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool stuff. I can't do any of it.
Right.
Do a back walkover. I'm like, no, I'll die.
Yes.
But I go and work. I go and read. Right. Okay. Evenings I can read, and so I like social solitude. So I like your Starbucks, your coffee shop, where there's enough noise that it distracts me from the noise.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. And I can read. I'll read anything. It's very rarely is it health or fitness or business related that time. It's a completely different topic than I find connections in. So I can be creative at night when I have little windows like that. And the thing about reading is it's not like once you start writing and you're like, I have to finish this. Like reading is like, okay, wait, someone's interrupting me. I can close the book. This is okay.
Yeah. So. All right. So you mentioned coffee and we're talking to a nutrition expert here. So what are your high performance nutrition tips, exercise tips for you being a high performance entrepreneur and a high performance dad and having, you know, kids with good energy and good health?
Okay. So one, I'm 40.
Yep.
I'm not going to be Mr. Olympia. Like I'm not being drafted into the NHL. I missed my draft year. Their mistake, completely their mistake. But so I can work out 3 times a week and still have a body I'm just very happy with. Right. So I don't need to do 4, 5, 6, 7, 14 workouts Monday, Wednesday, Friday while the kids are at school. It's perfect. Right. It's my lunch hour break. You spend a lot of time working out, especially I have a gym in my basement, right? So I can just literally in track pants walk downstairs and work out. For people who don't have that, you're getting styled, brushing your teeth, brushing your hair, driving to the gym. It's even a 1 hour workout's 2 hours of your day.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that 6 times a week because it's 0.7% better than doing it 3 times a week, you're wasting time and you're kind of, again, you're prioritizing yourself above everything else. Mm. So 3 times a week, but I do it right around noon because I have this like awesome, I can get stuff done from like 8 to like 11:30 and then it starts dying off.
Got it.
So I take a break, I work out, and then I'm good to go again. New ideas with the blood flow and all that, as long as I didn't hurt myself, that kind of thing, get going. My mornings are 2 espressos spaced out every day. A couple times they're at home, other times they're at Detour in Dundas. It's like my second home, which is sad, but I get stuff done there. It's a cute little coffee shop that doesn't have Wi-Fi. Okay. So when I go there, I have to write. And even though I know they don't have Wi-Fi and I know I should be writing, I still hit the internet browser probably like 5 times in an hour.
Oh yeah, that's great. Habit.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But I get stuff done. So, and then it's also, I don't do big breakfasts. And I don't fast in the morning, but it's maybe like a shake type mm-hmm. of thing, maybe some fruit. It's nothing big, so that I can just sort of focus on the times I'm really productive and some times I need to be productive.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Very cool. So any other routine solutions that you've developed over times, anything that you've said like, no, I have to cut this from my schedule, or anything that your wife has found that she's had to cut from her schedule that was just eating up time. Like you said, similar to that, going to the gym really yeah. is 2 hours a day, not yeah. just 30 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. This is a weird one. Groceries.
Okay.
When you're shopping for a family of four, you can no longer just wing it and go to the grocery store because you're going to be going for 4 things. You're going to come home with 10 things, but only 3 of the 4 things you're supposed to get. So then you have to go back out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what we find is when Heather and I are not in sync, in a given 7-day week, there's maybe 14 grocery trips.
Wow.
Yeah, because just like I needed this and oh my gosh, this for, because like you get make lunches and then you've got people coming over. And so it's really like realizing, okay, we're going to drive into town. I'm like 15 minutes outside of town. I'm close. I just have to drive by Cowes to get into town.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to drive in. Let's do groceries. Okay, let's hit the liquor store. Canada, we have liquor stores. Let's make sure we have wine because people are coming over. And then I got to hit the bank. So it's stuff like that. You can't just pop out all the time, right? It's especially since it's not fair to the kid to be like, oh, okay, everybody back in the car. Daddy's got to go out. They're not quite old enough to stay home by themselves. So every time I go out, if Heather's not home, I got to take them, right? Or Heather just gets home from work. She's had a long day. It's been...
And how long does it take to do a 10-minute grocery trip when you have two kids?
Oh, yeah,
it's really 45
oh, yeah,
minutes.
45
right?
minutes, yeah. And I'm the worst out of all of them. We should go check out the candy aisle.
Right.
So double stuffed Fudgios in the freezer. Best thing. Best invention ever.
Right. And then so you know, Heather comes home. And
yeah. She's had a long day. And then there's one of two things, right? We either drag the kids out or I'm like, yeah, I know you've had a total like long day at work. You just want to relax. I forgot I got a couple things at the grocery store, so can you just, you and the kids hang out for a bit? And she's like, I don't, oh my God. Like, I just give me a couple seconds here, right? So if you, little things like grocery shopping can be big, right? So yeah. You just got to get her done.
So what in terms of individual time have you guys planned out in your marriage? So, you know, like you said, you know, you come home, like Heather's a teacher. She's
yeah.
just been with 30 kids all day.
Yeah.
And then she comes home and she has to be with more kids, you know, 3 more kids at
yeah,
home.
Totally.
Because she doesn't have any other adults in
yeah.
her house. So what have you guys planned in terms of like, hey, here's, you know, your quiet time every day
yeah.
or
yeah.
even like vacations away from the kids?
Yeah.
You know, when did you guys take your first kid free weekend?
Kid-free weekend was pretty early. We both got parents who were close by.
Got
so
it.
They were able to take kids. We don't do it too often. I actually take the kids with me on a lot of trips and Heather stays home
okay.
around report card season.
Got it.
We tend to do that. But I think a lot of it is reading off of each other. So we're in a really interesting spot. I'm home all day by myself, typing my ideas, talking to myself, right? So when Heather gets home, I'm like, we should have Craig over. We should have the neighbors over. We should go out. And Heather's like, I just listened to 30 kids sing songs and do stuff. Like, I don't want to meet anybody. Like, I'm going to put track pants on and I don't want any, you're not even allowed to talk. I'm like, no, we need to go out and see. We should do stuff. And she's like, we're not doing stuff. And
right.
sometimes she's like, yeah, okay. So I've got to balance that and realize that I'm like, okay, maybe hanging out with 30 grade 4 kids all day trumps the fact that I'm a little bit lonely and want adult interaction.
Right.
So I'm like, maybe I'll just hold out.
You just got to go to the coffee shop.
Exactly, right? But the girls there rip on me all day. That's because that's what they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just learning that. And some days Heather does want to go out. Sometimes she wants to have book club, which is just a bunch of you all just drink wine.
It's wine club with books.
Wine club. You know why? Because when you have it at my house, I get to serve, right?
Ah.
So yeah, then it's get me a gin and tonic, Becky. But yeah, so you've got to sort of realize and flow with it. And sometimes Heather's like, you need to go out. Like, you need to go do something. Go see what Mike's doing. Like, leave me alone. So and it's just a lot of just ebb and flow. I don't do well in high structure, but I do well in routine.
Okay.
Right? So there's a level of flexibility that needs to be in there. So Heather knows that I like going to a coffee shop to get stuff done sometimes. She knows that I actually need to work out kind of as part of my job. No one wants fasting advice from someone who doesn't look the way they want to look, right? So it's part of the job description is to sort of stay in shape. At the same time, I know that sometimes she needs time. She needs time to do report cards. That's something that you take home when you do at home at the kitchen table all over the place. So that's when I'm like, I'm just going to take the kids out for dinner. Like, I'm not going to make you move your stuff off the table. So it's ebb and flow that way. And it's a constant ebb and flow. It's never something super structured as much as knowing what routine we need to shift into based on what's going on.
Very cool. Very cool. So it's amazing that you didn't know about the Five Love Languages book, considering you've been married for 15 years.
Do this. I'm on tape right now. Okay, wait. I can do this.
No, would it be 2004 or 2006?
Okay. June is 6, 11, 2005.
Okay. All right. So you've been married.
6 plus 5 is 11.
You've been married over 12 years now.
Yeah.
Great relationship. But you also went out all through high school and college.
Yeah.
So what are the marriage secrets that you guys have? Because so many people listening to this would love to know how to have that relationship.
Oh, Heather puts up with a crazy ass husband. I mean, it's – no, I – okay, let me think.
Is it the nuances that you talked about? Like, hey, you know, taking this – well, it's first of all, you understood the sacrifices of kids. You understood the sacrifices of, hey, you know, the wife is having a tough day or she's – you know, it's report card season. We're going to take the sacrifice. Is it just having that balance
honestly,
and partnership?
I think it's more her than it is me. I think that you need to be a very special type of person to be married to an entrepreneur who is science brain, but artistically likes to write. I think there's a lot of give and take on her side, realizing that sometimes when I'm sitting at home on my computer, I'm actually working, right? Or when I'm going to San Diego to visit Craig, I'm not just going to hang out with my buddies. That's actually work, right?
Yeah.
Or when I'm asked to go and present somewhere, as fun as it sounds, when you're on all the time, when you're on stage and you're meeting people afterwards, being on and being in persona, it's not that I have a fake alternative persona, but just being pleasant to everybody.
Right.
It's tiring. It's work. And so it takes a lot. She's really good at remembering that when I'm off somewhere and she's home in January in negative 20 weather, dusting the snow off her car, and I'm like, I'm in Vegas. What's going on? That I'm actually working. Right. And it's as ridiculous that is even for the average person who's like, it still doesn't sound like work. I promise you it is. And so it's a lot of Heather realizing that that's part of what our crazy life entails. So it's more her than me for sure.
Right. So what is your opinion on good marriages depend on the couples being best friends? Do you think that's
No, absolutely. I mean, you're going to hurt each other. Right. And you always hurt the people who are closest to you. You're always more gruff, more stone-faced, more snippy, right?
Yeah.
With the people who are close to you. So you need to have that friendship to realize that it's not always personal. It's not always, I'm actually being snippy with Heather. It's like, no, but Brad's actually just being snippy with the world right now, right? Like it's, he woke up, he didn't listen to Craig, he checked email, he got the one mean email, and now he can't get out of his head, and he's just being a dick to everybody. We're just going to breathe. It's not just about me, right?
Yeah.
And same thing, I have to realize that sometimes it's not me, it's a grade four that set Heather off, and I'm maybe taking a bit of it, but that's my job as a friend and husband. So I think it's a paramount importance is realizing that you should be best friends. Having I do a date night every Thursday night.
Okay.
And it's nothing special. We go to the Keg. I have a Guinness. She has a white wine. They pretty much have it ready when we get there. That's how often we go. And we just hang out. And I think that's, if you can't do that, then you got to work on being able to do that. Because we can just hang out. Keg, a restaurant picked specifically for, it's one of the rare restaurants that doesn't have a TV every freaking spot that's conveniently located right over someone's head. So as you're talking with them, you're, no, I got to stay focused. Right, so but we picked a spot where we could sit, we could talk, we could engage, and just banter, right? And that's I think a big part in making things work.
You know, one of the things that I really like about you, Brad, is that you have a really, really great personal philosophy on life. You are easygoing, but you want to have an impact. You also have things in perspective, and you have your priorities straight. You have great relationships. You have great friendships. How did you develop that philosophy on life? Was that something from your family? Was that something that you built on your own? Was it something that you had any big breakthroughs over high school, college, working time? Were there any books that really just like clicked with you?
Yeah. So when I was raised well, I was just really lucky. I had an awesome dad. I have a great mom. I have a mediocre brother. But good family. I grew up in a good neighborhood, right? I had my first girlfriend ended up being my wife, and she has a great family. So I just had a good support system.
And you had dreadlocks when you
I totally did have dreadlocks, and they supported that, which was really sometimes parents make mistakes, and that was one of them. But it was in the kind of corn was cool at the time, and,
right?
And never, it wasn't cool for me. Anyway, so what I realized though growing up was actually with a lot of what you wrote, and it was about setting goals. And I was really envious, rightfully or wrongfully, of the guys who knew exactly what they wanted. Their goal is like, I'm going to work, I'm going to make $1 million, and I'm going to drive a Lamborghini. And I'm like, it's awesome. I don't really want a Lamborghini. I mean, it'd be cool. No, I don't want a Lamborghini. I'm like, I don't know what I want. And that was, I really struggled with that. Because
At what age did you struggle with that? Like young or no, like even
dude,
when
just,
you're 25?
I've struggled with that for a while, and I didn't really come to grips with it until I was maybe like 36, 37.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because we the businesses I were in at that age started becoming profitable, good businesses, and I actually had money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird situation when you actually have money and you're like, I could totally get a sports car. I could totally do it. And you go and look at a sports car and you're like, I don't really want this, right? Like, sometimes when I go to a restaurant and I have one too many Guinnesses and she has one too many wines, and we're like, we're going to Uber home and leave the car here. I'm like, if I had a brand new Corvette Stingray, I don't know if I'm leaving it here, right? And I like my Jeep. So it was like, hey, I don't want that. I'm like, what do I want? I want a mansion. Like, I want a big, we're talking people come up to my house thinking it's the White House mansion. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I don't have to clean that. I don't want that. Right, I don't want to take care of it. I don't want to have staff. So it was really trying to come to grips with why I do what I do and what would make me happy. And I realized I'm a bit of an appinist. So I like the idea of aponia, which is the striving for an untroubled life. So I judge things based on, will this add a lot of extra stress in my life? And is that stress balanced by the happiness? So in the case of kids, like, oh, it's so much stress, but the happiness is there. It balances out. But in terms of a lot of, sometimes a lot of travel, sometimes a lot of possessions, cool things, and you're looking like it's actually just stress for the sake of having a goal that I hit. So if I realize my goal is actually to be, have an untroubled life, then as long as I'm attaining that, I am moving forward. I am doing what I want. So that was the big realization I had, was that I strive towards a less stressful, you can never have no stress, but a less stressful life. Because then when you do have a lot of stress, you can handle it. And realizing that there is, there's a beauty in something that's very untroubled. And so that's always what I'm striving towards with my writing, with work, with how many staff should I have, with should I travel all the time? Is my traveling then wearing on Heather? And then that's a stress, and I'm not actually enjoying the travel. I'm just going because someone kind of wanted me to go.
Yeah.
So it's balancing that stuff out. And that was the big aha that's really let me get reinvigorated in my business, get reinvigorated in organizing my day. I remember having a really hard time with The Perfect Day and reading it. And I read it, unfortunately, in your voice. And I didn't read what you were saying. I read what I think you were trying to tell me. And I was really stuck. I'm like, holy cow. Like, this whole thing is driving me towards a lot of work and a lot of goals. I'm like, and that's actually not what Craig wrote. My most important thing to do in the beginning of the day. And I was stuck on that one topic, right? And I'm like, it's stressing me out because my most important thing to do is I'm like, should I be answering emails? Should I be thinking of the next big project? I'm like, no. No, that's actually not Craig saying your most important thing. I'm the one compartmentalizing it to work. So for me, in an untroubled day, the most important thing for me is to get up and be like, the kid's not going to do today. Like, what's our day actually going to look like? What is... I know Briar was kind of stressed about something today, and how could we help her out with that, right? Like, we're actually going to talk about that. And then I'm like, that's the most important part that I have to get right today. And that leads to an untroubled
Because you're day. In the season of family right now,
yeah,
which is
exactly.
what we're talking about. Yeah,
right, exactly. And it was also that, like, if my goal is an untroubled life, then maintaining an untroubled household, right, is of paramount importance. It's not making sure I have the world's best email going out today, because to tell you the truth, for at least a lot of my readers, they don't care if email comes at 7 or at 5 p.m. as long as it's good, well-written, and there's not many Pelonisms in there where no one knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
So the most important part for me was the starting a day by making sure the rest of the day is going to be untroubled. Right. So I'm really bad at double booking. Right. I'm right now at this very moment, the Jeep's supposed to be getting its snow tires off. Now, I'm awesome at that, right? But for an untroubled life, it's like, don't do that, right? Because there's an inherent stress in knowing that you've committed to two things at once that I don't need. So that's my most important part of my day. When I figured that out, then I was rolling.
Okay, so we've talked about you having an untroubled life. Now, I think you also live a good life. And so what is your personal development strategy? What do you look for? Like, where do you look to grow? And what are you looking to learn? And what do you see for yourself going forward?
Okay, so... from a relationship point of view, I'm still working on listening. Like I really am. I'm. It's horrible when I meet people and they say something, and I've had a similar experience. I want to tell you about the experience right away, and I'm going to cut you off and tell you about how my experience is really similar to your experience, forgetting that you're telling me about your experience for a reason, and I should probably let you finish the story or at least get halfway through. So I'm really, as an individual, trying to learn how to listen. I get frustrated with the kids when I don't know where the story is going, but I got to listen, right? One of the things I keep reminding myself is a lesson I learned. I used to work at a supplement shop called Healthy's, and the customers used to piss me off because they'd ask the same bloody question every day. I hear the same question like 100 times every day. And my then manager, Sue, she was like, you know, Brad, it's like, you've heard that question 100 times, but that's that person's first time asking it. So don't be such a dick. I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. Like, this is that person's first time answering it. And I'm pissed off because how dare they ask that when the guy 20 minutes ago just asked that. So not like they were there to hear me answer, right? They were just asking a question. So it's realizing that just because I don't think something's important, right? If it's important to the kids, if, you know, Briar wore the wrong shoes to school and was embarrassed by it or something, as much of a, in the grand scheme of things, this is nothing, it's really big to her, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you think back, everybody can remember in high school being stressed about something. And then you, at 40, you look back at high school and be like, hey, why were you stressed about that? There's nothing to be stressed about. University being stressed? When you're like, it's one big party and a couple hours a week of cramming, right? But at the time, it was like, oh my God, life is over if I don't get this thing done. So it's realizing that things that might not seem important to you but are important to other people are worth your time to listen. So that's my main sort of personal development goal is working on that, is listening.
That's awesome, Brad. Thank you so much. This is going to be dangerous, but I'm going to ask you a question from one of our viewers.
Awesome.
Because I think you're the least qualified. Well, you're not the least qualified, but I think that your answer is going to be relatively entertaining.
It's going to be like bridge engineering. Let's do this.
What advice do you have for ladies to be a better partner?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's. I don't even know if I can answer that. Okay, no, I can. Is realizing that without selling out every single guy here, after about 15, 16, we just get older, but we don't necessarily mature.
Right.
Right. So there's always going to be a level of play, a level of, like, I still kind of want to be a superhero. Like, I really do, right? And, like, when I'm sitting watching Star Wars Rebels with the kids, it's not because the kids are watching it, or because I actually want to watch it. So there's always going to be a level of immaturity that we're going to have, and I think that fostering that kind of keeps us young and fun, I really hope, because that's what I'm aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
But killing it, you know, expecting us to act like the men on TV, you know, your Mad Men, you know, and that sort of little bit of child disappearing is usually counterproductive. So you allow us to be just kind of silly or play on PlayStation or watch cartoons. It keeps us young.
So like a healthy little bit of it,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to sit on the couch for like 8 hours playing PlayStation. We don't even have a PlayStation because of that.
Right.
Right. But just realizing that sometimes
that's all we want. We just want to play.
Yeah, just want a little bit of playtime. Right. And not in like the kinky perverted playtime, like with that's good too. But the general playtime.
Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome, Brad. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for watching and listening. This was a lot of fun, Brad. That was really, really helpful, dude. I took a lot of notes mentally from my own personal relationships.
A lot of ramble. That's what I do.
And like you, learning to listen has been something that I need to do better. And I could listen to you give more advice for a longer time. So thank you very much.
No worries,
and
brother.
This was another amazing episode of Early to Rise Radio. See you guys soon.
Okay.
Say bye, Brad. Say bye, Brad.
Bye, Brad.
Yeah, there we go. All right, what a fun show. It's always best when I can bring my friends into my home and interview them like we were just chatting around the bar. So I hope you enjoyed that one. I'd love to hear what you think of Brad's success story. So please email me at support@earlyrise.com or send me a message on instagram.com/realcraigballantyne or at twitter.com/craigballantyne. Thanks for listening to Early to Rise Radio. Please head over to iTunes and rate today's show and share it with your friends too. And don't forget, Brad just had even more big breakthroughs in his business and personal life after he attended my Perfect Life workshop. I do these every month and I really want to see you there. So please reserve your spot at perfectlifeworkshop.com. Again, that's perfectlifeworkshop.com. We'll see you soon.